Blog Talk Radio. It's over now. Shalom, good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Swear Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Mashab, one of the teachers with the ISBHBK. I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in as we get started with this week. As we pick up with our scheduled classes here on Blog Talk every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. That's Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8:30 in the morning till 10:30. That's Albuquerque time. If you happen to be in Texas, that would be from 9:30 to 11:30. If y'all out there on the East Coast, on the West Coast, that would be from, let me see here, 7:30 in the morning. I know it's kind of early, 7:30 in the morning till 9:30 in the morning to get your day started. And then going all the way up to the East Coast, you know, if you're on the Eastern Seaboard of the United States, then that would be from, let's see, it's 10:30 to 11:30. That would be 10:30. Out there on the East Coast. Again, we produce this show every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. We invite you to join us to break bread with us. We have a Sabbath class in Albuquerque, New Mexico at 501 Copper, Northwest Albuquerque, New Mexico. 87102 being the zip code there. As I see the brother Shalimar here, I'm about to bring him in. We have
a
show.
I'm muted.
Every Saturday from the downtown main library, downtown Albuquerque at 501 Copper Northwest, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87102. We invite you to come and join us for class there where we do the tour readings every Saturday in classroom number 2 at the downtown public library. Come and break bread with us. Come and join us. We'd appreciate it. We usually go over like a little question and answer time before we actually get into the tour readings. So we invite you to join us for that. And then we have a school here in San Antonio. In San Antonio, they have classes from Tuesday through Friday from approximately 7:30 p.m. to about 10 o'clock p.m. That's Tuesday through Friday. We invite you to join the brothers and sisters there at 4219 Centergate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 78217, being the zip code there. They also have a Sabbath class that they do every Sabbath. From 10 in the morning, 10 a.m. to about 12 p.m. in the afternoon. And also they have a street teaching, evangelizing, going on, missionary work they have going on every Sabbath also at Houston and New Braunfels there in San Antonio, Texas, the corner of Houston and New Braunfels. And they get out there from 10 to about 1, 2 o'clock also to go in and break bread and prophesy to the wind, like the scripture says. We have a school also in Houston. In Houston, Texas, we have a school located at 8524 South Ridgewood Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77071, I believe is the zip code there. They have classes Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 to 9, and we invite you to check them out. Their shows are spectacular. Their shows are probably the most well-rounded shows you ever want to check out. You can get there at 8524 South Ridgewood Boulevard. Them brothers really putting it down. And you can catch them live on YouTube at the YouTube channel ISBHPK. That's the YouTube channel ISBHPK. You can check them out. They really put it down also. They really got it going on. You can watch them live as they produce their classes. They also produce a Sabbath class on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to about 2 p.m. Again, that's Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And you can catch them live, once again, on YouTube channel, ISBHPK. Give them a shout-out. The more subscribers, the more viewers, that even helps them with monetary help, being commercialized and everything. So we invite you to please log on. Go to YouTube channel, ISBHPK. Log on and be a subscriber. And that'll be a way for them to help them also with revenue and getting this word out. And they deserve it. They are really putting it down out there. They also have a website at isbhpk.org. They have a website set up, isbhpk.org. And on there, they have a PayPal set up. If you like to leave a financial contribution, you can log on to isbhpk.org. And they have a PayPal set up to where you can go ahead and do a PayPal, do your PayPal account to with any financial donation you'd like to give. They also have a Google Wallet that seems to be becoming pretty popular nowadays. Google Wallet, that's isbhpk@gmail.com. That's isbhpk@gmail.com. Go and hook them up if you want to give a financial contribution that way. I believe I do have Shalom on the phone. Shalom, I'm going to ask you to give a little breakdown about Eastern Oils real quick.
Yes, sir. What we do out here is in San Antonio, Texas, and in Houston, Texas, and also out here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we have a company that is known as, in Albuquerque, it is Egyptian Treasures, where we import the most prolific and phenomenal all-natural fragrances for man, woman, and child, for some of the best name-brand colognes, perfumes, aromatherapy fragrances, and essential oils for allergies and massages. And with those fragrances, it also helps to also further fund and take care of the ministry and putting this word out. We import fragrances from as far as Paris, France, London, in England, Morocco, Dubai. So if there's any particular essences that you have smelled in the past that have a fond place in your memory bank and you want to revisit those experiences, those fragrances, and those emotions, you can come to any of our locations, whether it be in First Colony Mall up in Houston, or the Coronado Shopping Center out here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or our two locations in San Antonio, Texas, in the Ingram Park Mall and also the North Star Mall, where we will bless you up with some of the best of the best of the best in fragrances. And we can't forget that we also have in Houston, I know they also do the bath bombs, that the sisters that work really hard out there to help the brothers out. We have all natural electric oil warmers and diffusers, scentsies. And then we also import some of the most eloquent and sophisticated handcrafted 18-karat gold Egyptian tear catcher bottles, which were used as ceremonial burial rites for things that people wanted to send their loved ones off with. But they were also used originally as the first fragrance bottle. We have those for you, too, if you want to take a piece of history home with you and not just that warm feeling in that conversation that we always give you and leave you with. You can get those from us, too.
All right, cool. Go ahead. If you have any more, go ahead, please.
No. I said, so if you're in the Albuquerque area, you can meet us up at, like I said, 6600 Manal Boulevard, right at in the upstairs escalator right between Boba Tea and H&M. If you want to go visit us out in the San Antonio area and check us out, we're in the Ingram Park Mall on the lower level, right by, if I'm not mistaken, the Aldo Shoe Company and the New York & Company. We're right there. And if you are visiting us in the North Star Mall with the big booths out front right before you get to the airport, we are inside on the Macy's end. We are in between Foot Action and Champs, if I'm not mistaken. Or if you want to see our brothers out there in First Colony Mall, they are right down there, right next to the best spot in town, Victoria's Secrets. You know what I'm saying? Out there putting in the work. And now, if you also wanted to bring in any donations as far as, like, monetarily, if you didn't want to come by or do the Google Wallet or donate it to the Wells Fargo account, you can actually go personally to each one of our locations and make a contribution that way. If you didn't want to just leave monetarily that way, you wanted to purchase something to help us out, it's always appreciated. Or if you wanted to go by and enjoy some of the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that the Heavenly Father has bestowed upon us to be shared with you, we always got you on that too.
All right, cool. I'm going to ask somebody if they can please read 1 Corinthians 9:27, and then I'm going to put my phone on mute because, like I said, they're replacing the roof here in the apartment complex I'm in, so I'm not going to be able to escape the noise. So if somebody could read that and we get some expounding or some understanding on the scripture, I sure appreciate it. So I could read that and get some insight to it.
Not a problem. Go ahead, brothers.
Which scripture is it?
1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27.
It reads in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
So read this again from the top of the please, God.
It reads, it says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection.
So right here, the scripture is letting us know that one thing that this brother is doing, he says, I have to remain in control of myself. I have to make sure that I can't let my body or what the things that I want get out of control. Read.
And bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
I have to make sure that first I'm doing what? I have to make sure that I'm keeping myself in order. I have to make sure that I'm doing things the right way. Because now if I don't do this, when I go out and I deliver the Heavenly Father's words to others out there, what am I doing?
I'm misleading them.
I'm making myself a castaway. I can't go out here and tell people to do all these things and make all these adjustments. And you know what? I'm not making these adjustments and these changes.
They don't see the example.
Right. They don't. And
you're running your mouth.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Now, that's when the scripture talks about, you know what I'm saying, let us not be hearers of the word, but let us be doers also. I can't come out here and do all this, you know, share these great mysteries with people and all this knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And then, as soon as I leave, I'm going to give you a simple example. I can't talk to you about the dietary laws and everything that you're not supposed to do and not supposed to eat. And then when I leave, I'm going to eat me a nice pork rib sandwich.
Pork chops.
You know what I'm saying? I take you with me after we just went through the dietary laws, and I'm sitting down smashing on some pork chops. We are living it up on BLT, and I'm talking about regular bacon, not turkey bacon, lettuce and tomato. You know what I'm saying? That is not the right example I'm supposed to be putting out there. You know what I'm saying? And it shows that where does all the work start at in the beginning? It starts with me. I have to make sure that I work on myself so that when I do go out here, you know what? I'm not making myself a castaway by doing contrary things to the words of the Heavenly Father. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's one of the most beautiful things about Mashaba's class, the class he put up for us. It's about examining yourself. You know, because a lot of times we can put the blame on other people and on other situations, but now it still comes down to what am I doing? You know what I'm saying? What am I doing in myself to make sure that I'm representing the Most High the right way? It's good to tell you, it says, examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith. You know what I'm saying? And now this is one thing that we have to continually make sure that we're doing, because I know that as an individual, a lot of things can happen to us, and we can get caught up into the affairs of a lot of things in our life, and we won't do that. We'll overlook it. We'll start to justify and make excuses for it. But the Bible does tell us that we will be judged by every idle word that does come out of our mouth. Okay, let us not love in faith in word and in tongue, but how?
Indeed
and in truth. It's about the actions. And my, there's a song that's about it. It says, practice what you preach. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what has had so much controversy with so many people out there with the quote-unquote churches that are out there. The preachers talk all the spirituality, but then be chasing the I'm not going to use the garden tool term, the women of the congregation. Preachers be committing adultery with men and women out there using drugs. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But then I'm supposed to be an arbiter or the representation of the Heavenly Father. How are you representing the Heavenly Father?
Time.
You completely are not. You know what I'm saying? Watch, let me see.
There's a scripture I want to see if I can get here real quick. There we go.
But now, do you have anything to add to that, Ahmad?
No, that was pretty much it. I'm just going to end up repeating what you said. How can you, they say talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk, you know what I mean? People in the world see that, you know, people that aren't versed in the scriptures, that don't even know God, see that, you know, the fakeness, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
people, like, man, you front. You know what I mean? That's a popular term, and I don't think they could use that now, but, like, man, you front, man. You putting on a show. Like, you talking all that mess, but let's see what you're really about. The world is quick to put you to the test. So, you know what I mean? You better be ready to back it up. You know what I'm saying? You better be ready to get your bluff called. You know what I mean? If you really talking about this, if you really represent the Most High, then you better be ready to get your bluff called. You know what I mean? You better make sure all your ducks are in order, whatever you want to call it. You better make sure you got everything, you know, lined up and you're actually living this and they can see it in your life. Otherwise, don't distort the words of the Most High. Otherwise, don't give the Lord a bad name by misrepresenting him. You bringing this word out, and then in your personal life, you chasing, like you said, you chasing the, you know, chasing after tail, or you know what I mean, whatever. You trying to get with your homie's girl while he's at work, and the stuff that we're really known for, just all the little dirty tricks we play, even amongst each other, and then, you know, and you just trying to set somebody up. You still living like that, but you quoting scriptures. You're giving the Lord a bad name when you do that. And that's what you don't realize, man. And you know, that's grounds for punishment.
God, I want y'all to
blasphemy.
I want y'all to do me a favor. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5.
2 Corinthians 13 and 5.
Yes, sir.
Got that. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourself. Whether ye be in the faith.
So now every day I wake up, and every endeavor that I partake, I put to myself, what am I supposed to be doing? What does the scripture tell me that I'm supposed to be doing?
Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith.
So I got to make sure that I'm walking this narrow path that the scripture tell me about walking, because if not, I'm doing detrimental things to myself, but also I'm doing detrimental things to the Heavenly Father's people. Well, give me the definition of examine. Man,
examine.
Yeah, examine, please.
Okay, what I have is, I just Googled. It says inspect someone or something in detail to determine their nature or condition.
Hold on.
Investigate thoroughly.
Hold on. So I'm supposed to be doing this to who?
To yourself.
So I'm supposed to be examining myself. I'm supposed to be inspecting myself to make sure I'm what?
To make sure everything is straight with you. Like you make songs, like check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Kind.
Because that's what you don't make sure you're straight, man. You can really. You know, like they say, fall and split your pants. You look real stupid in front of everybody. You could really just give yourself a bad name. You could really embarrass yourself.
But you could really
look stupid and not injure yourself.
I'm not even worried about giving myself a bad name. I'm worried about more giving the Father a bad name. Because I'm the representation of the Most High to these people.
God.
These people haven't had the knowledge and mysteries revealed to them, but now I'm that go-between form right now. And if I haven't been examining myself, what bad lessons am I teaching them?
The things that you still have in you that you haven't checked.
Well, the
dirt that you still got in you.
I'm teaching them all the contrary things that I still have to work out of myself to please the Heavenly Father. You know what I'm saying? It said, if the blind leads the blind, what's going to happen?
They'll both fall into a ditch.
You know what I'm saying? So I really have to make sure that I'm really walking circumspectly about the things that I have to work on, because If not, if it's going to be my downfall, it's going to do what to somebody else?
It's going to be their downfall also.
God, let's read the scripture again.
God, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate?
So now I'm really supposed to be working on proving myself, because the Most High is in me, because he wouldn't have given this knowledge to me if he wasn't. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The scripture says, it says, if our mystery be hid, it is hid to them that are blind. But now if I have this opportunity to come in and get this knowledge, wisdom, understanding, that the Most High sees something in me. There's something in me that he wants to use to further his purpose. So this is not a, you know, well, you know, I'm gonna just do how I do it, and you know, some people might get hurt, some people might get lost, but you know what? I was just doing the best that I can, brother. This is a heavy calling, because it's not just the it doesn't just involve just you. As learning these things, as we go and learn these things, we become a watchman that's supposed to watch out for other people's spirits. You know what I'm saying? And now, because of my shortcomings and my mistakes, I have given this person a bad example. You know what I'm saying? Now they get lost, or they get humaned away because of the destruction that's coming. Whose fault is it?
It's your fault.
Yeah.
Because you misled them in the first place by your shortcomings, by not examining, by not staying up on top of yourself.
Okay.
They see the dirt is still inside of you. They see that. It comes out, and they end up following that. Little that you may know at times, destroyed somebody else.
Because sometimes a lot of the justifications that we give as men, as people, is, well, I saw him do it, so I figured I could do it.
Exactly. And, yeah, I think we can all kind of attest to that. I've been misled in that fashion.
And brother, you really have to think of this as a standpoint, because most of us out there are parents, and we have children. So we understand the fact of, if there are things that we're doing and our kids see it, and we can tell them, no, don't do that, no, don't do that. But if they see us continually doing it, to them it's what? It's acceptable.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Why do you keep telling me to stop doing it? He keeps doing it.
Yeah, we'll use something simple. If I ever catch you smoking a cigarette, I'm gonna whoop your butt, right?
Right.
But every time you're stressed out, what does your child see you doing?
Smoking a cigarette.
Right. God, I mean, but now, you know what? I don't think about that situation. I don't think about those things. Watch here. Let me get the definition of reprobate real quick. When it
you
talks
look
about
stupid telling them that too, man, because you're doing it. You look stupid telling them that. Little wall. Because they always end up asking, why do you keep doing it? If you don't want me to do it, why do you do it? I want you to be better than me. I don't want you to fall into the trap that, you know, this is my problem, but I don't want it to become your problem.
Well, I always tell our kids, I want you to have everything that I didn't have. I want you to be better than me.
Right.
And, but they go off of the examples we leave them. It's no different for us than the truth. We have the Most High's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And we say things, but people watch it. So they're going to go off of what?
What they see.
Kind.
Yeah.
And then this is when we should really understand we should walk worthy of the vocation that we're being called. We have to understand the validity and the weight that our continued drive to get this knowledge and to edify it through our actions is. Like, watch. You can let this go in 2 Corinthians, we can actually go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and give me verse, let's see, let me go back real quick. I apologize, guys. I believe it's 2 Peter chapter 10 verses, I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 and verse 11.
2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure.
So now what am I supposed to be doing?
Sticking to the program and stand up under yourself, like what we just went over in the last scripture, examine yourself, like keep under yourself to make sure that you're taking care of them flaws, and if you take care of where somebody else sees it, and you, like you were saying, you lead somebody else off, you mess somebody else up, because that flaw of yours might not be something that's taking you off right away, but they might succumb to it more easily, and it might take them off quicker. You know what I mean? But let me see, what is it, verse 10?
Yep.
It says, make your calling and election sure. Like, this is what's going to make us more acceptable in the eyes of the Most High, because by giving that diligence and staying up under ourselves, we're making sure that we're representing Him in the right fashion. By doing that, it's not something that we're being sloppy with, or something that's careless, or something you're taking lightly, or you're not taking it seriously. You know, by doing this, you're really making sure that the Most High and His righteousness is being represented in the correct and the proper fashion. You're making sure you're showing these people really what it is to serve the Most High, and really what the key to success is, so that you can lead them in the right way, so that they can in turn lead somebody else in the right way, and in turn that's how this nation grows in righteousness and returns to the Most High in righteousness. You got to make sure you stay up under. If you're going to be an example and a representative of the Most High, you got to make sure you're doing it right. You got to make sure this is not, it is something heavy, like you were saying earlier. It's not something that you take lightly. It's a serious and heavy calling. It's doable, but you just got to make sure you stay up under yourself. You just got to make sure that you're representing Him in the right fashion. You know what I'm saying? Hot or cold. Say come correct or don't come at all. You know what I mean?
Okay. Let's continue reading.
God, we're in 1 Peter chapter 1, and now verse, you know what? I didn't finish verse 10. Middle of verse 10. Matter of fact, I'll just start back at the top and I'll continue reading. It says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall.
So now, if I am continually examining myself, making sure that I'm doing things the right way according to the Heavenly Father, you know what? The Most High tells me that, what? I will never fall. I will never fall short. I will have success in the things that I do. So now, when I have stepped into that role of leadership and teaching of his flock, now what's the only thing that they're going to see?
Your dedication, your example.
The example.
Man, you want them to go, man, he's really about this, man. He ain't playing. He's serious. He actually lived this, as opposed to, man, he's just blowing a bunch of hot air. What he might be saying might be the truth, but he don't live it. But I don't see how it's helping him. So, you know, why would it, what's it going to do to me? You know what I'm saying? Your life is in shambles, but you screaming out scriptures. You know what I mean? But what has it done for you? And how, you know, I don't see it. You know what I mean? It's more than just people hearing words. It really is about the example that they see. It really is about, okay, you know, let me look at your life and see, you know, what has this really done for you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're looking more at the words that are coming out of your mouth. Hearing it is one thing, but actually seeing these things, examples in people's lives, being able to see it, that's what's more effective. That's what people really cling on to more. That's what really hits them. That's the part that really touches them, is when they can actually see it. You know what I mean? It has a greater effect when your words actually match, you know, your example.
Come on, but watch. Read on in verse 11. Come on.
You got it. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
So for me, continually staying on top of myself and examining myself, what is the Most High say he has waiting for me?
The access to the kingdom.
Because we did what? It's not like...
You stayed up under yourself and actually took it seriously. You took it seriously as opposed to just playing around with it and misrepresenting. Like, if you're not going to represent it fully, don't represent it at all. Because you playing around with it, again, you're giving the Lord a bad name, because them people that you trying to give this word to, they see them flaws. And they won't take it seriously. See, you're not taking it seriously. They're not going to take it seriously. You know what I mean? That's just an example of you misleading. Like, keep your mouth shut unless you're ready, truly ready to represent. It's best to not say nothing at all. Unless you are truly ready to represent and you are truly staying up on top of yourself. And you know what I mean? Don't say nothing at all.
But now we're going to read an example real quick of a man who really, for the most part, was really about examining himself. Now, he did get away from it in the scriptures, but his objective and his goal was to make sure that he was doing things the right way. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Let's see. Let me get straight to the point. I don't want to do a lot of talking. Okay, I want to let the words edify themselves.
Chapter 1, verse 10, that word diligence, we ran across that. Everybody might not know what that means. So, you know, these words typically that we don't commonly use, we like to look them up to make sure we have a full understanding of what the scripture is actually saying. So while he's looking for that, I'll go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. It says, which in time past, excuse me, 2 Peter, I'm at 1st. I had to go back to 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 10 says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. That diligence, I look up the word diligence. It says, having or showing care and consciousness in one's work or duty. That means you're real careful. You're real particular. You're real, you know, you're thorough. Like, you're taking it seriously. You're not playing around. You're making sure all your I's are dotted and all your T's are crossed and all your punctuations are correct. And at the end of this sentence, if it's actually a question, you didn't accidentally put a period. You actually put the question mark that's supposed to be there. You know what I mean? Like, you really, really taking it seriously. That's all it's saying. It's like, you're taking this seriously. You're giving diligence to make your calling and election sure. I mean, you're not leaving nothing to spare, or you're not leaving nothing to, you know, what do you call it? Nothing to what? Yeah, I don't know if spare was the word I was supposed to use, but you know what I'm trying to say. You're not leaving nothing to chance, if that's the term that I'm looking for. You're not leaving nothing to chance. You're making sure that you are representing the Lord in the absolute, in the right way. You're taking it serious. Because if not, again, you could destroy somebody else. You could destroy somebody else's mind. You could really mislead someone, and then you got to answer for that. You got to answer for that person's life, because it could go as far as they could lose their life over just a tiny bad example. It could take them so far off. You know what I mean? And you got to answer for that. But anyway, I just wanted to revisit that. And did you find that scripture in 2 Chronicles you wanted to come with?
All right, it was actually in 1 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to jump into it in verse 5.
1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5.
Because now, in the example that we're ready to see, this is about King Solomon, and when you get to a blessing of something, it could always be something that could be like, okay, I'm about the money, or I'm about the status, or about these things and this things and all this other nonsense, but it's really about what's important to the Heavenly Father. So you have to make sure that, you know what, I'm not doing this just for my come up or just to look good to men. This is really about making sure that I'm fulfilling the will of the Heavenly Father. Watch, read in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5.
Yes, sir, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee.
So now this is when Solomon, King Solomon, is in Gibeon, and the Heavenly Father put him in a dream. He said, what do you want from me? What do you want me to bestow upon you? Read.
Verse 6. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. So,
yeah.
Okay. Finish off?
Yeah, keep reading.
Yes, sir. Verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in.
So right here, this is when King Solomon is really talking to the Most High. He's like, you know what? You bestowed great things on my father, and now you let me step in his place. He's like, but I don't know how to do the things that I'm supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? I'm new to this position. So I'm really trying to learn. Read on.
Verse 8. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this people thy so great a people? For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?
So right here, David, what does David ask for? Solomon.
He's asking the Most High, like, give me the wisdom and the understanding heart. Give me that type of understanding to where I'm able to correctly judge all of these people. Like, I don't want to be a wicked or corrupt king. Give me the ability to judge these people rightly.
To lead them the right way.
That's what he was concerned about. He could have asked for anything else, monetary, you know, whatever. Other stuff could have been in his heart, on his mind. But what was in his heart was, man, I want to do this right. I don't want to misrepresent you, Father. I don't want to, I care about my people. I don't want to mislead them. I don't want to make misjudgments. I don't want to wrongfully condemn, anybody. I want to make sure I'm doing it all the right way. Can you please help me with that, Father?
And you know, the reason that I really went to the story is because if you're going to have to lead people, you know what? You have to still make sure that you still have to be on top of yourself. You still have to examine yourself.
Comes right back to that.
It does. I can't sit here and just be like, you know what, I'm the king and I get to dictate what's going to happen. And then that's the bottom line because I said so. Brother, I still have to make sure that I'm on my P's and Q's and I'm doing things the right way.
Right.
There's a scripture that says, as the head is, so are the officers. But it trickles down from there all the way down to the people. However the king is however his generals are going to be, however his their soldiers are going to be, however the people that are related to this, it all trickles down. So you have to really make sure that you are doing things correctly, the right way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But with the way that things are set up, Scripture tells us in Proverbs, it says, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Am I really going to take the time to bring my thoughts into the subjection of Christ like I'm supposed to? Or is it just going to be about what I want or how I feel or how I think things should go? You know what I'm saying? It takes me back to, I think it was Matthew chapter 6. Let me see.
Can you get it?
Yeah. We really play around with the severity of the job that we're called into. Let's see.
Take it lightly.
Yeah. Give me a second here. Is it Matthew or is it Mark? It might be Mark. Let me see.
Can you Google the word?
Yeah. It's about, if you have done this to at least the one of my little ones, you have done it unto me. I apologize to everybody out there listening. I want to make sure that I give you the right scripture. All right.
So, Matthew 6 and 25 is what I heard. Can you show the answer? Matthew 25 and 40.
Okay. Let's see.
Kind of in line there, but
no, I want to find it. Let's see. I'm gonna get it right now, y'all. Like I said, I apologize. I should have been very much better prepared. It is. Yep, I think it's Mark chapter 9 and verse 42. Mark 9 and 42. There it is.
Okay, Mark chapter 9, verse 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were cast into the sea.
Right. So now, in examining myself, if I don't stay on top of me, I do what? I'll offend somebody because I've given them the wrong example. And now the scriptures, because honestly, what color are these words right here we're reading right now?
Red.
So we know who's speaking.
Christ.
So now this is coming from Christ. He said, when you offend somebody, someone of the least of these, my little ones, because I wasn't examining myself, I slacked up on my responsibilities, I stopped staying on top of my duty that I was supposed to be doing, because I did this is what is bestowed unto me. Read it again.
Mark chapter 9, verse 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea.
So it would be better for me to put a big rock, tie a big rock to my neck and me to jump in the ocean, than to offend somebody who's trying to come in and get this knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of the Most High. And because I took my responsibilities lightly, I gave them a bad example that caused them to go astray. This is why I have to make sure that I meditate day and night in the scriptures like the Bible tells me I'm supposed to. I have to make sure that I seek out of the book of the Lord and I continue to read, because there's always an area that I could strengthen and develop more to be the right example for people. And just to back that up, we got another scripture that says also in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6.
Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. So Matthew just has a different perspective when he's saying the same thing Mark just said.
Kind. Kind. And also, let's go to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12.
Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
So hold on. So, why would iniquity abound? What did I stop doing?
You stop following the Lord and you start following your own opinions, your own thoughts. You stopped.
I stopped examining myself.
Yeah, there you go. There it goes.
Still
goes right back to that.
Hey, Shalom.
Yes, sir.
I like what's coming out. I guess I'm in between the beat. I can still hear the beating a little bit. One thing that we have to keep in mind also, Israel's got this thing where we like to be the victims. We like to be the victim, and we always want to play, I'm the one who's always being hurt. But we never reflect on what we have done to the Most High as individuals. That everybody wants to see this mindset of, I'm just being afflicted, I'm just being offended, I'm just being done, I have to suffer wrong. But at what time does a person examine themselves about what they've done against the Most High? At what time do they realize that I had to go through what I'm going through because of my offenses against the Most High? Everybody be so quick to want to think about and just want to scream and yell like a little kid, I've been offended. But at the same time you yelling and screaming about you being offended, are you doing the same yelling and screaming about how you were offended the Most High? Was it just I'm the victim? Boo hoo.
What was me?
I'm the victim. I don't never do nothing wrong. I've never done anything to nobody. I've never offended the Most High. My righteousness is perfect with the Most High. Everything right with the Most High.
I'm not trying to cut you off, Rocket, but the scripture even tells us our righteousness are as filthy rags.
No, it's not. That's y'all's righteousness. My righteousness is perfect with the Most High, and all I do is get afflicted.
The Most High's words say our righteousness are as filthy rags.
No, your righteousness, but not mine.
Right. What we think is right.
I just get afflicted. I just get offended because I'm perfect in the eyes of the Most High. And then I'm going to start to find scriptures that show I'm the victim. And everybody else is the bad guy. But at what point does a person examine themselves about what they've done to the Most High, and that this is now what I owe the Most High to go through what I'm going through? And the reason I sent you that scripture 12 is because it says Christ told us the love of man is going to wax cold. Because the iniquity shall abound, the love of man shall wax cold. So, but he says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. So it's already stated that, yes, true enough, afflictions, offenses. All right, cool, we got that. But is that going to make you cold? If it makes you cold, guess what you're just as guilty of?
The same thing.
You just as guilty. So while everyone's in this, I need a pamper, I need some talcum powder, I need my ass rubbed because I'm the victim, because my feelings have been hurt. And now this is the reason I'm going to wax cold. All right, cool. You can turn cold, but guess what? You're going to be just as guilty. And again, where is the examination of where have you offended the Most High? And now this is what you owe the Most High. To go through what you're going through is what you owe. At what point does a man look? If the scripture says, know ye not that the spirit in you lusts to envy. Again, unless the Bible's wrong. The scripture says that there's a spirit in each of us that the Most High is looking at that lusts to envy. That there's an envy in each of us that desires to be envious. That I'm the victim. I'm the hurt one. I'm the meek one. And everybody else gets better than I get. Everybody else gets good. Everybody else gets taken care of. And I'm just the victim. Unless the Bible's lying. Unless James chapter 4, verse 5 is a lie.
James chapter 4, verse 5 is not a lie.
It must be because I'm the victim. I've been hurt. I've been afflicted. It's like, Sean, you have toddlers. How many warnings do you give your toddlers before you might have to slap their hand? Slap their hand,
brother. You give the. I say this. You tell them more than enough times. 10. 10. At least 10. But you got to break because you're trying to give them the opportunity.
And they're just that stubborn. They are that willful that no matter what warnings they get about what it is they're doing, that now when it finally gets to the point now, it gets spanked. How many times do your children, especially Noah, how many times does Noah want to hurt you because you spanked him for his behavior?
Oh, right. Constantly. You've seen it. After I've talked to him, Mashaba, 10 times 10, and then I finally have to get him, and he falls out. He's like, oh! But how many times have I been telling you not to do what you were doing?
Or get so mad that now he wants to hit you back because you hit him.
Yes.
Because he's that hell-bent and stubborn. But we never want to look at how hell-bent and stubborn we be. All we want to do is bitch and cry about I've been offended. I want to bitch and cry. Act like a little effeminate woman, like a little girl, because I've been offended and I've been afflicted. But at no time do I examine myself about how I'm not in the spirit. How I've been offending people with my selfishness. That I can be what I want to do, how I want to do it, the way I want to do it, and everybody else is going to make sacrifices to accommodate my selfish, stubborn, immature ass. But then when it's brought to me, all of a sudden now, oh my God, I'm looking for prayers to pray. I'm looking for how do I get, when is the Most High going to get stop this injustice? When is the Most High going to finally get the wicked for being wicked? But at no time does a person examine themselves to ever consider that this is the Most High paying you back. That the Most High is showing you your actions. How many times you only think about you and don't think about others? How many times you only think about what you're going through and don't think about the rest of the body? And you can see in somebody else how ugly it is. You can see how, and you can know how it affects you and makes you hurt. But at no time does a nigga look at himself and be like, damn, I do the exact same shit. In my selfishness, I hurt the people around me, not giving a fuck. In my selfishness, well, I'm just going to do me the way I want to do me. I'm going to think about what makes me feel good.
I'm not thinking about the fucking body. I'm not thinking about nobody else. But now when I get affected, now it's got to be, we need to go through that. Something's got to be done. Something's got to be done about this injustice. Something's got to be done about this wickedness. Something's got to be done about this shit. This is me.
I have a question.
Different than when niggas be like, the white man's this, the white man's that. Damn, when you gonna see that that's you? The white man's prideful? Guess what, bitch, you are too. The white man don't think about nobody but himself. Guess what, nigga, that's you. The white man only puts himself in positions for his own advantage. Damn, nigga. That's you. It's never, it's always, no, it can't be me. That can't be me. See, remember in James also, James is a great book. James tells you how the scriptures are a mirror.
Yeah.
James tells you how this is supposed to make you look at you. The scriptures are designed so you look at you. But that's the hurtful part. This can't be me, because it's destroying the prideful image I have of myself. That's why it's easy. If it's about just putting some friends on a shirt, that's easy.
No.
If it's about just putting friends on the shirt, if it's just about, okay, don't eat pork, all right, I'm going to take my stab and I ain't going to do shit for nobody else. Just sit up and do nothing. That shit's easy. Because that'll require a man having to look at him, his own actions, or look at himself for nothing. He doesn't have to examine how seen how filthy he is in the eyes of the Most High.
Is it like that that one part where
no man wants to go to exam if he gets happy 23. I just want to look at the good things. I'm so stuck in Isaiah chapter 30. Give me smooth things. Don't cause the Holy One of Israel to look at me and see my flaws and see where I'm off and see where I'm disgusting in his eyes. Tell me that I'm okay. Tell me that I'm the victim. Tell me that everything's going to be all right and that the Most High is going to get the wicked. But don't tell me or show me how disgusting I am in the eyes of the Father. From before I came into truth, and the same shit I keep doing in the truth. Let's get together and talk about how the white man's the wicked, how the white man's the devil. Let's get together and talk about how women ain't shit. Let's get together and talk about other Israelites who have offended me, and other Israelites who do this, other who do that. But let's not talk about the offenses I cause. Let's not talk about that, or I'm going to be like that little kid again. I'm going to take the ball and walk away, because if you're not going to play the rules, but play the game by my rules, then I don't want to be. I'm walking away. I'm done. I can't believe you have the gall to talk to me this way. I can't believe you're going to say all this type of stuff. You prideful ass nigga. You prideful, self-conceited nigga. And nigga is somebody in the scripture who's greedy and only about themselves. You mad because somebody else is about themselves and it affects you. But you don't see where your selfishness is just as ugly and affects anybody else. And now you mad. You mad, bruh? You upset, bruh? So is the Most High. I love how Israelites never want to take a look at how many captivities have we been in that find the Most High to bring the so-called white man. He had to clean cavemen up, Neanderthals. He had to clean up Neanderthals, bring them out the caves, and put them over us. Mr. Righteousness. Mr. You don't do nothing wrong. Mr. You're just a victim. If you were so right and so good and so perfect, then why did you go through Deuteronomy chapter 28 curses? Mr. Righteousness. Why have you gone through the life you've lived, Mr. Perfect? If you're so holy and so right and so good and so pure, how many warnings did the Most High in the reincarnation class, if we believe in the reincarnation class that's in the scriptures, then how many times has your spirit been here and gone completely astray from the Most High? That, you know, in that same reincarnation class, the Most High says that the wicked should not be acquitted, but the Most High will pay them back every 3 or 4 generations. So 3 or 4 generations ago, when your spirit was here, what did you do against the Most High then? Let's go back another 3 or 4 generations. What did you do then? What things have you done against the Most High? That now you come back here and got to go through a little bit of affliction. Not even affliction, that's the wrong word. Go through some chastisement because you're wicked. Go through some chastisement because your spirit is off in the eyes of the Most High. It's been off. Or are we going to now say the Most High is just that unjust? That really, you're innocent. That the Most High got the wrong guy, huh? You were framed? You were set up? You're really innocent? That now you're allowed to just bitch and complain like an infant because you're being chastised because you've done wrong. You're not being afflicted. Afflicted is if you ain't did nothing. You're being chastised for the wrong you've done. Hebrews, what's that? 5 and 12 and 5. Talks about not being a bitch, not fainting when you're rebuked by the Most High. Because if you be without chastisement, then you're a bastard. For whom the Lord loves, he chastises. Somebody read Revelations 3:19.
Revelations chapter 3 and verse 19. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
No, I'm afflicted. I'm going to make sure you're afflicted.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Finish it.
Be zealous, therefore, and repent.
For as much as you're a person be zealous to find scriptures and why I'm the victim, worth the examination that no, you are the perpetrator. Where the scriptures about, no, you are the offender. But I know that has to go with this pristine Cinderella picture we got of ourselves, that I don't do nothing wrong.
I have a question. Do people forget that, like I said in Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence against an evil act or an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Because we've always, all the wickedness that we've done, you know, we still forget that because of all that wickedness that I have done, you know what, the Most High still has to pay me back for that. No one gets away. There's a scripture that even tells you about it. No one is going to get away from the correction. But how do we, huh?
That does happen. There's forgiveness. Because I'm always trying to be the victim. Because I'm always trying to be the victim, there's forgiveness about the negative and the wicked that I as an individual do. I'm still busy trying to look at like Christ said, I'm trying to pull the mote out of somebody else's eye. I got a beam in mine. I'm trying to pull a splinter, some dust out of somebody else's eye, and I can't see that I'm the one that the Most High's got the big problem with. That the Most High's looking at me like I've got a beam, a fucking beam shoved in my eye. But I'm sitting here steadily trying to be anti-private eye and shit, trying to look at everybody else how they're off. How they're wicked, because they make me uncomfortable. They're off. They're wicked. They Most I need to get them, needs to destroy them, needs to hurt them, because I'm being inconvenienced. Because really, I'm the dick. I'm the prick. You know, what this comes out to? It comes, it takes one to know one. For as much as somebody can see the wickedness, the offness, the selfishness in the next man, then where you examine yourself to see it in yourself? Mr. Bible Scholar, Mr. Spirituality, Mr. In Touch with All That's Good, you lying motherfucker.
I have another question, Mashaba. do you think Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23 deals with this also? Because this is what what Christ said. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" But he calls us hypocrites because, just like you've been talking about, we go into all these, we play the victim role, or we really do not think about any of the messed up things that we've done, and it's because this outward thing is, like, you know, when he talks about the bowl, on the outside the bowl is clean, but inside that bowl is filthy as hell.
And I won't get mad at, I can look at another brother and be like, you see, oh, he's trying to make the outside look all good, and he's trying to make himself look good in the eyes of men. But inside, I know he's fucked up. But where do you look at yourself the same way? Where do you recognize the same shit in yourself? You want to get extra mad, extra heated, extra zealous about how all they do is clean the outside up, but inside I know they're fucked up. Inside I know they're off. Inside I know they like this. All right, cool. You can recognize that then. You recognize when someone is just cleaning the outside but not cleaning the inside. So where do you see that in yourself? This ain't about me. Well, the fuck it isn't.
When the Most High's judgment comes, it starts at the door. It's gonna start with his people, the priest first, right?
With anybody, I'm not even gonna say priest because everybody wants to now. Yeah, get the elders. Yeah, get them. Don't get me. I'm not a priest. I'm just a humble bystander. So, if you're in this truth, if the Most High woke you up, you're responsible.
Yeah.
The scripture says every man's supposed to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
I like to know when does a man feel guilty for the shit he's done? When does a man sit up and examine the shit he's done against the Most High and feel guilty for it? Or is he on this American psycho shit? It wasn't me. It wasn't my fault. It was my parents' fault. It was this person's fault. It was the cop's fault. It was the drug's fault. It was this bitch's fault. She should have got me mad. It was my dad didn't hug me enough. I didn't get enough allowance like the other kids. At what point does a man stop making excuses and blame everybody else and take responsibility for his own goddamn actions? But see, that's too painful. Well, read 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10.
Yeah. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2 and verse 10.
Are you the only person,
Mark? Ahmad did go to drop off Aharon, and Gabar had to be at work at 10. Yes, sir, I'm the only person here.
Read this.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Receiving the love of the truth ain't just talking about accepting Christ as black. It ain't just talking about Bible says don't eat pork. When is a person going to accept the truth in themselves? I'm wicked. I am very selfish. I'm very self-righteous. I'm lazy. I'm slothful. I'm very self-centered. When's the person going to accept the truth about themselves? Okay, yeah, the white man's the devil. All right, cool, all right, cool, all right, cool. Got it, that's devil. Man, ham, they're just disgusting. Cool. White man's the devil, ham's disgusting. Yeah, the Moabs, they be eating dog and cat. Okay, they eat dog, cat, and rat. The ham is disgusting. And Esau's the wicked, he's the devil. All right, cool. Okay, the heart machine, chemtrails, GMOs, hybrids. Okay, yeah. Okay, cool, got it. Man, the woman's just off. Okay, all right, cool. That's to cover the whole spectrum. Man, these other Israelite camps be teaching this and be teaching that. Okay, the other Israelite camps be teaching this and teaching that. The woman, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Hamites, the Edomites, the food and everything. All right, cool. Now that all that shit's out the way, what about you? Now you've uncovered everything else. You exposed everybody. Good job. Great job. What about you? What about you? What about the truth about you? But the scriptures does say that there are going to be some who receive not the love of the truth. Read on.
That they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie.
Damn. Damn. It says God will send this person a strong delusion. You ever see the truth about yourself? The Most High will send you a strong delusion that now you will believe lies. You ain't that bad. I'm kind of good. I'm the victim. God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Read.
Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
I don't want to get the things that's not right in me. I don't want to get those things fixed. I don't want to work on those things. Let's talk about how unrighteous Esau is. Let's talk about how unrighteous Hamites are. Let's talk about how unrighteous the Catholic Church is. Let's talk about how unrighteous the Muslims are. Let's talk about how unrighteous Joel Osteen and Creflo Dollar are. Let's talk about how unrighteous pedophiles are. Let's talk about how unrighteous homosexuals are. But we better not talk about our own how I'm unrighteous. Don't tell me that. Let me keep believing that the little shit I do, the little things I do, that's enough. Let me keep trying to believe that lie. Keep speaking to me smooth things. Matthew chapter 7, and verse 21 says what?
Matthew chapter 7, and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Go ahead.
Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Explain this to me, Shama. Break this down.
Well, this is talking about how a person would sit there and be like, but I've done this. It's like we go over the checklist. But I gave up 15 years. I've sacrificed homes. I've done these things. But, you know, the most important thing was I never acknowledged that wickedness that I've done, and I've never went to work on changing that. So now, in that time of judgment, when I'm in front of the Heavenly Father, and he's passing judgment on me, and I went through all my checklist, he's still going to say, I never knew you, because why? The one thing that I was required to really work on and examining myself and changing and acknowledging so that I could become that new creature in the Father or in Christ, I never did. It's like okay, yeah, you was at the mall, okay, you sold bottles, you even taught some classes, okay, you went out and did these things, but where, at what time did you acknowledge the unrighteousness that was in you that you committed, and then you really went to work on changing those things? Where did you acknowledge your sins and your transgressions, and now where did you make the decision to manfully change your life the right way?
Come on, bro. You anything else?
No, sir. I mean, And going through the class, Mashaba, it takes us back. It takes me back to like some classes that I've heard when I was in the truth in the beginning, where the Most High talked about how he met us and he cleaned us up. And after all the work he put in to clean us up, we went out and we started tricking off again. But you know what? I never acknowledged the fact that I went off and I tricked off. And for you to bring that up, it's the worst thing in the world. But I know that in Scripture it talks about the Most High wants us to have that self examination, to where I can acknowledge the things that I've done, and now I really put forth that effort and that work to not be that same person, to not do those same things again, to not walk back down that path.
Come on, bro.
You know what I'm saying? It's like when Scripture says, your mother was an your father was an Amorite and your mother was a Hittite. You was swaddled. You was in blood. You know, and I cleaned you up. I adorned you. And the one thing I have to remember is that the Most High cleaned me up, but there's still work and there's still things that I have to pay back. There's still work that I have to put in, because there were things that I've done before that I have to pay for. You're not gonna get away from it.
Tana.
I got you.
Yeah, anything else you want to bring out?
It's pretty self-explanatory.
But anything you want to say? We can close this one up then.
Not a problem, Ock. We can close it down. I do want to apologize for, you know what I'm saying? I wish I was better prepared for the class because I felt bad that I was really going off of the scriptures that I have used to really try to keep myself on a straight path. You know what I'm saying? I was really trying to make sure that I was on line with the topic.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. It's all good.
Nah, but other than that, I don't have anything else to add. You know what I'm saying? I was happy to be able to be here to share these words with the people out there that was listening. You know what I'm saying? And I want to continue to be here to help spread the word to them.
Time. All right, with that, like I said, shalom, everybody. We did it. Like I said, shalom to everybody. We get a chance to tune in. Thank you for calling in or if you listen to one of the archive shows. Remember, tonight being Tuesday night in San Antonio, there is class night at the school. 4219 Sergey Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 72-17 being the zip code. If you get there about 7:30, we'll be doing pretty good. You get to school at 7:30. There's definitely class tonight in San Antonio at 4219 Sinegay Drive here in San Antonio. In Houston, today's Tuesday. Check the YouTube channel. Make sure there's class. Check the YouTube channel or the website, isbhpk.org. Isbhpk.org to check and see if they have a class or not. Tonight might be the night they actually do the Houston radio show. That they've secured out there, and I don't have the information with me on hand. With that, my name is Mashaba.
Shalama.
And for all the brothers and sisters for the ISBHBK, thank you all for tuning in. And with that, we're going to say shalom.
Shalom.